I'm Tim Donaghy, and you're listening to the Advantage Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Advantage. I'm your host, Michael Fiddle. Today is Sunday, April 28th, and on today's episode, we are doing our first 2024 playoff edition of Check Ball. I got two great guests in the studio who will be joining me to break down some very fun topics and stories, just the hottest topics in the NBA over the past 10 days, and we are in playoff ball. Favorite moment of the playoffs so far? What was the best midseason addition to your team? What's been the biggest injury? Who's had the single best performance? And what's the craziest statistic that you've heard? We got so much to discuss. Let's just get it popping.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. Don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy. That's all that I need.
Joining me is our lead NBA playoff correspondent, AV, Austin Vernon, and somebody who sends Charles Barkley, his family Christmas card, Gibby Graves. Now, first question is to AV. How do you feel about the new title? And then how do you feel about the subsequent Gibby introduction being 10 times cooler than yours?
I think that Gibby has a long list of cool family intros that you've just been waiting to give out over here. I'm just proud to work my way up the corporate ladder here, where I'm a correspondent now. It's playoff time. I understand that there's room to grow here. That's what I'm looking for.
Gib, does Charles actually get your family Christmas card?
I don't have the list, but I would assume yes.
I would assume. That's great.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am on one of the same lists as Charles Barkley. All right, let's get right into this. We are discussing the best topics around the NBA, but we started this video with a little message from Tim Donaghy. Do we have to play it again? I'll play it again.
Hey, I'm Tim Donaghy, and you're listening to the Advantage Podcast.
This is the first episode ever where we've been dropping the Tim Donaghy video in the intro. What do you guys think about me wrangling one of the biggest gambling scandals in the history of the NBA 2 weeks after Jante to start debuting as my introduction?
I think it's just a matter of time before you get Jante Porter to also be to have a video and a clip to use right after. And then you're going to have all of the biggest NBA betting legends.
Yeah, are these the faces that you want representing your conglomerate over here? I mean, I was reminded of a bad time in the NBA when I saw Donaghy and introduce himself there. But
so let's tell the people what happened. I found Tim Donaghy on Cameo, and it was motherfucking $20. So I sent the man a message and I said, "Hey, this might be inappropriate for me to ask, but are you willing to do the introduction to my sports betting podcast? And I understand if you just don't want to do something like that." And within 24 hours, no response to that, he simply turned around the video. And you will later see, debuting next season, a different video with him in it. He like just went 10 toes down. He's willing to be the heel. He's accepted that he's not like the best face of this, and he doesn't really give a shit. So let's not really spend too much time on it. But Tim Donaghy will be part of the Advantage moving forward. I find it kind of cool. All right. Favorite moment of the playoffs so far? Best midseason addition? Biggest injury? Best performance? Craziest statistic that you've heard? Austin, you know the rules of Check Ball. You choose where we start. Go ahead.
Sure do. I mean, I'm going to go with some recency bias because I just watched Jalen Brunson put 47-10 on the Sixers to go up 3-1 on the road in a game that was not free-flowing like you would expect anyone to get 47. They were fighting hard, like a finals-looking game. Both of these teams go hard, but the Knicks especially have sort of bought into this foul you every play kind of Heat-style defense that I kind of like in the playoffs. And I mean, it's been one of my favorite series, probably the best series in the East, if not overall. And it's a big deal to be the only Knicks player ever with 47-10 and the highest Knicks NBA playoff scorer ever. I mean, these are an incredibly storied franchise. It's cool.
So you think your favorite moment is best performance kind of in tandem?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I went best performance there because I could go a different direction for my favorite moments and have okay. kind of an overall take. Let's actually start with best performance. And I think it was Jalen Brunson there.
Gib, I'll throw it to you. You're a Knicks fan. Is it just obviously Brunson best performance? Is it Embiid who had the 50 bomb with those crazy threes? What, he made four deep threes in a row in clutch third quarter? What do you think's been the biggest single playoff performance?
It has to be Brunson. Having 47 of 97 points, as AV said, like this was like a grinded out game. And he had 22 in the first half, so 25 in the second half. So it was like throughout the game, he was dominating the game in like this tough matchup. No, obviously scoring 50 on one leg is pretty impressive too. But I think what Brunson did was just like absolutely incredible. I think the Knicks are going to win the series. So that's what's going to be remembered rather than Embiid's 50.
Yeah, Brunson's 47 bomb. Embiid's 50 is the other notable one. James Harden's game one. Playoff P's game four. Was that today? Earlier today?
Paul George. Yeah, Harden's game
Harden.
Four.
Harden again?
Both of them. Yeah.
I mean, to the fact that we're throwing on Harden on the first episode of best performance in Czech ball makes me very proud. As a long time Harden is better than D Wade supporter,
I don't know if this is gonna make the craziest stats that we've heard list, so I might as well drop it now. I'm pretty sure he's averaging 28-7 over the course of these playoffs with 50-50-90. I mean, if you told us Harden was going to need to carry them without Kawhi, I think we would have picked Dallas in five or six.
Dame had a 35-point first half in the Bucks.
Yeah, that was wild.
And a 0-point second half.
There you go. You know, I don't need to say it. Yeah, so that was kind of half a performance. Trying to think of the other notables.
I mean, you could just say Ant the whole series, just because, like, I know he hasn't had maybe one staple game, maybe the game where he was talking trash to KD the whole time. But, I mean, he's just put that team on his back. I mean, it looks so good, and that whole series.
Low-key, one of Ant's best performances was when he didn't actually score that much. He only had 15. But dude found every other way to impact the game and was the maturity for a 29-year-old in, what, a 22-year-old's body? So yeah, that exactly. was really impressive. Who went nuclear? Tyler Hero on the Heat that game?
Yeah, I mean, what he finished with 14 assists. He was like high 20s and 14 assists. And in a game where they had no other chance unless they had someone kind of put him on their back, and everyone else hit threes too. But
can I actually throw an alternate out for that one?
Sure.
Best performance there was Coach Spoelstra.
Wow, that could be.
And let me explain why, because this is something I wanted to talk about on the pod, and I just mentioned it on Buckets, which has bets for tomorrow. If you guys should go listen to that after this episode. What Spoelstra did was this thing called Game Theory Optimal, GTO. It's a very poker strategy where when in poker, you're literally just always choosing what the right thing to do is. Or if you're playing blackjack, you're sticking to the index card that has the rules of when you should hit, stand, push, double, all those things. Game theory optimal just means trying to do the most mathematically advantageous thing for your possible card situation. And Spoelstra did that. It's very gambling approach in the NBA where he's like, we need to shoot as many of the shots that are worth more, and we need to make sure that they shoot as many of the shots that are like they shoot less of the shots that are worth more. It literally became a threes versus twos battle, and if we make our shots, we have a chance of winning the game.
Yeah, that is what that game looked like. But you're not going to be able to make, you know, 50% of your threes on whatever it was, 23 for 40 something every night just because you hit the game theory button. But I'll also say that Spo is a genius, and not only is he playing it that way, he's defending them so well. Just hearing KP talk about how shook he was just dealing with Spo's defensive looks, that as soon as he thought he understood something, they just threw something different at him. And it wasn't when something wasn't working. It was just like almost at random and in a way that, you know, maybe other playoff guys like Tatum have seen before, but KP was less used to and was, you know, was a big part of the reason they lost that game. They shouldn't lose any game in that series.
Gib, you could choose our next topic. Favorite moment of the playoffs so far, best midseason addition, craziest statistic, biggest injury impact.
I'll go with the moment, and I think, again, Knicks bias here, but the game two comeback,
yeah,
with the three, yep, the steal, it was one of the most electric moments I've ever seen as a Knicks fan. I was screaming at the TV. I was like, what the hell just happened? How did this happen? It was insane because that game was lost. This series would be totally different if they don't somehow pull out, yep, that miracle, and Philly was able to steal one at home. Because now it's 3-1. They're going back to MSG for game five. I would like to think they're going to close it out there. But if that doesn't happen, now it's 2-2. Anything could happen. This would be going 7 probably.
Alex just dropped in the chat that it was the sixth double bang of Mike Breen's career. Yep. Bang! Bang! On the DiVincenzo 3. What a moment for them. Knicks getting the softest rims throughout the entire playoffs. Good for them. It's led to some epic moments in the Garden and actually in Wells Fargo. AV, do you have a runner-up? Because I don't think anything is topping that for best moments.
I love that moment, but I'm just going to go with game winners in general then, because it's not Tyrese? Often you get this many game winners. You got Tyrese Halliburton on that floater, and that wasn't even the only one. I mean, that all of Chris Middleton's threes to tie that are going to be lost in the sauce there, just because there have been some great other game winners with DiVincenzo and Jamal Murray, and Tyrese did end it. But Chris hit a three to force overtime and then a crazy bank three to tie it up late and almost hit the third three to force double overtime. I mean, he's, yep. I remember when they made their NBA Finals run and won it all, people talking about him potentially being the Batman to Giannis's Robin. And I wouldn't go that far, but he really is a closer like that. He's ready for the playoffs.
All right. We got one more game winner. Jamal Murray, game two. Over, yeah, course, a, over the outstretched that, yeah, AD. The fact that we have three game winners in the first 10 days, yeah, of NBA playoff basketball, like, those have to be the three favorite moments. But let me give one off the court. That, okay, clip, like, that singular moment, that, like, singular 15-second clip of Ant talking shit and KD, yeah, smiling might be like the best singular moment of the playoffs.
I mean, everything Ant has done in that series, he's maybe my favorite thing that I've seen so far. The way that people talk about Heat culture, I know this is a bit of a stretch, like, Ant is changing the culture there with what he's doing on the court. I know that a lot has to happen behind the scenes and in terms of what they're doing with their defense and how hard they're working now. But just like the confidence he gives them, the swag on the court, is you can carry a whole team with that, just being your identity and getting behind Ant. And it feels like that's what they've done.
Gib, let me ask you a question.
Yep.
Three game winners we're talking about in favorite moments so far. I'd, mm-hmm, say one, I'm going to tell you to rank them. I'm probably going to guess is going to be DiVincenzo, the collective of what the Bucks was with Halliburton, and then the Jamal Murray over the outstretched AD, but you can correct me if I'm wrong. The question is, are any of them better than Derek White's game winner last year when he came running in and flipped it back up against the Heat? Game what, 6?
Yeah, of the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, Eastern Conference Finals, yeah.
Dante's is better. And that's also, again, a bias here. But I actually...
It's also home versus away, so that, like, adds to the moment.
I would change the ranking. I actually would put Jamal Murray 2nd.
Yeah.
Because I think if that series is now 2-2, which the Lakers also blew that made a huge lead that game. If that series is 2-2 and Bron was able to take out the Nuggets, that would be a huge thing for his legacy and potentially getting to the Western Conference Finals or just, like, going past this. And now it seems like the series is over. Now they did take the 4th game, but still down 3-1. I just think, like, the importance of that puts it above the Bucks Pacers game, because I just, it's not as, you know, I don't think of that series as impactful,
right,
on a bigger scale than what,
yeah, in the NBA Finals we may see the clip of Murray shooting over the outstretched AD, yeah, versus we're probably not seeing Bucks or Pacers in the NBA Finals, especially if the Bucks are down Giannis and now Dame, which is, we'll get into the biggest injury in a second. And yeah, and as Alec dropped in the chat, Middleton going to the locker room. So, and Bobby Portis was ejected in this game. So
okay, who are they playing? Who
hold on, let me quickly check. Oh, it's all priced in, because I was like, do I have to go bet the live? I'm thinking right now, do I have to go live bet the Pacers? But they're only up 4 and they're still a -850 on the money line. So I was like, is the money line going to reflect the current score, not the state of the team? Because then you'd want to go smack the Pacers money line, but not an option. Okay. Should we get right into biggest injury if we're talking about it then?
Yeah, I mean, we should start with Giannis, because that team, if all three of them are not hurt, actually could have pulled it together and been good in the playoffs. I'm not happy that Giannis was hurt, but it gave us an opportunity to see, you know, Dame time in action and realize that he still has it. I was one of those people thinking for a lot of this season that, you know, they wouldn't have made that trade if they knew it would mean Drew on the Celtics and that they're sort of in a tough spot now. But Dame is what's up. I mean, he can single-handedly carry you in the playoffs. And when everyone is holding every possession and no one can get a shot off or create, having someone like that is, I mean, it's a huge difference.
Gibby, would the Bucks be beating the Pacers if Giannis was active?
Yeah. I think Giannis would have single-handedly be able to pull this team to win the series.
I agree.
Just like, I mean, what do you have, 60 against them in the regular season?
Yeah, and it's just like crazy. The best Giannis we've ever seen. I keep saying it. Like, this is peak Giannis right now. I know we have other MVPs, and he has 2 MVPs and a Finals MVP, so you default to, oh, that was his prime when he was doing that. This is peak, because his mental game has caught up to his physical game, but obviously he was injured. There is no physical component. So, I think the Bucks would have taken them. Let's go over to the rest of the injuries. Would the Pelicans have any chance with Zion?
I want to say yes.
AV?
I mean, yes, absolutely. But it's also because it's so demoralizing to lose him that it feels like they don't have a chance, that they're not playing as hard as they were even in the playing games as they are against OKC. But I mean, Zion's a freak. He's so good. It doesn't matter if you can foul harder in the playoffs, because he's just going to go through you anyway. I loved watching him in that playing game before he hurt his hammy. It was like, oh, this is what we want.
That Lakers game that he played in the play. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It was insane watching that. No, they couldn't do anything.
He was taking on LeBron and AD like 2-on-1.
Going through people.
To the rack, and they couldn't stop him.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. Okay, so Zion, huge injury. Kawhi, are we considering this like the Clippers would be winning? What is it now, 2-2? And the two games that the Clippers have lost have been the ones that Kawhi have been active. If we had a healthy Kawhi, how different is this series right now?
I mean, the crazy part is I would have told you the difference between Kawhi being hurt and not is have a chance and no chance at all. And they've looked so good with him in limited minutes or without him at all. I mean, the game I watched today between Paul George and Harden, like, that's a 1-2 superstar punch without Kawhi that really dealt with a good Mavs team, where I know Luka wasn't killing it, but Kyrie was in mode today. Like, they overcame a real Kyrie game. I'm more impressed with how good the Clippers are without Kawhi than I am about them missing them. And if you would have told me that I would be saying that the Clippers miss Kawhi less than New Orleans misses Zion, I'd be like, you're crazy. But I actually think that's where it is.
All right. We also have no Jimmy Butler in Miami, Gib. Miami still taking one of the games, getting smacked in the mouth the other two. Would Jimmy have been enough to overcome something like that? No, right?
No. The Celtics are too good.
We have shout out Julius Randle. Gib, do you think the Knicks would be better or worse with Randle active? Because he's a hotly contested playoff player. Let's hear it.
I want to like Julius Randle. I really do. But every time I watch him, he's Carmelo ball stopping without Carmelo's skill. And we need the ball in Brunson's hands 90% of the time because that's the most effective offense that we have. And he just takes terrible shots. He gets people out of rhythm. I think we're better without him. I wouldn't be shocked if they trade him. They trade him this offseason.
Yeah, the contract's a big deal. The thing with him is with him off the floor, I'm normally in the camp of a guy is as talented as Julius Randle and as physical as Julius Randle is during the playoffs is always a good thing. I know he's had a few bad games. It's a small sample size. I'd still want Julius Randle to be an option for my team. The one thing I will say that makes me say this might be one of the few times I go against it, although I probably still think having Julius Randle would be a good thing for the Knicks, not a bad thing, is it forces the Knicks to play like another shooter out there and then less of another body in the paint. So Brunson has so much more room to operate, to do his shiftiness and either put one up or dish it out to a shooter with a quick trigger. I don't know if that option is there for Brunson. The room is there. The gravity is there for Brunson to have 47 if Julius Randle's also out there. AV, is Julius Randle good or bad for the Knicks?
I mean, it's hard to say that a guy that talented you wouldn't want on your roster in the playoffs getting minutes, but it is because you can't use him in kind of a strategic, more sparing 25 minutes, talk him into a different role. It's either all or nothing with Randle. We've seen that when he's in, the offense revolves around him too much. And I do think that in the playoff, there are times that because of how hard you're allowed to defend and foul and no one can get a shot, a guy like Randle, who's a good bad shot shooter who can bully you, can hit fadeaways, is actually useful. It's just, I think it's exactly what Gibby said. It takes the ball out of Brunson's hands. And if you look at who you want in those key moments with the ball, it's got to be Brunson. I mean, we just watched him put up 47 and 10 today. And if it means now that Tibbs has to play OG 48 minutes, I kind of think that's better.
Yeah, I mean, OG's absolute menace. When he was fronting Embiid and then just keeping him so far away from the rim, it was... Embiid, that's why Embiid couldn't do anything in the fourth quarter. He was guarded by OG the entire time.
Dude, he looks so strong out there. I mean, I remember him being good for Toronto, but I remember him sort of being like a 2-3 good defender, open threes. He looks like he's a power forward level strength out there. He's big.
What percent Embiid do you think we're getting? And let's ask the question that if Embiid was fully healthy, are the Sixers winning this series? The Knicks also have two kind of ridiculous wins in this series. They seem to have won a good one today, but the crazy comeback from DiVincenzo and the insane shooting splits from New York in game one with it was just kind of outlier 3-point variance, which happens. We saw it in Miami versus Boston. But if Embiid is full strength, is this series much different?
I mean, I think it would not be 3-1. I think it would be 2-2. But more importantly, I think with Embiid at full strength, these are the second and third best teams in the East, and it kind of sucks for both of them. They have to play each other now. Not that they're on Boston's level, but they're the next two for me.
Are there any other injuries that we need to discuss? I had Giannis, Kawhi, Zion, hobbled Embiid, Jimmy. I mean, I guess Dame now too, but I don't think that
was. Yeah, but now it's over for them. We don't need to talk Bucks.
I think one point about the injuries I just want to bring up, it goes to show how deep this league and how good these players are, because like with these injuries to the star players, we're seeing a lot of guys step up into like bigger roles and be able to actually do it. Like James Harden, for example, we know how talented he is, but he's taking on a certain role because Kawhi's there.
But James Harden is not a system player, Gibb. He is a system.
He is a system.
That's what we're seeing.
But you see, I'm thinking about the Knicks right now, right? You know, Randall's hurt, so Hartenstein has to step up. And Hartenstein's been incredible.
Yep.
Now, he got 5 fouls in about 3 minutes in the third quarter today. But, like,
game-winning rebound.
Yeah, and you just see, like, these guys are all – like, a bunch of these guys who are deep on benches are really, really good. And they're just asked to do more, and they're just showing that they can do it. So I think it's also interesting when these injuries happen, you get to see the talent of guys who usually you don't get to see.
I don't know if I've ever seen that today, Gibby, by the way, that your starting center gets no fouls in the first half and then gets five fouls in like 5 minutes in the third quarter. And then
I had it listed for craziest statistic.
It might be. I mean, I was watching it live. I was like, oh, it's him again, but that's fine. No fouls in the first. I was like, ah, it's Hartenstein again, though. One more again? It's like, I don't know what we're going to do about this. A lot of precious minutes, I guess.
All right, so let's continue.
Yeah, I mean, dude, let's do the trades because I think there are two. Yeah, there are two.
There's a lot of them. There's a few good ones. See, I mean, Siakam's the obvious one, right?
Siakam's the one, and I know we don't want to talk about that series as much because the Bucks are out, but Siakam being the one, I'm happy for Indiana going forward. This could be a real like duo with Tyrese. I know Miles Turner's there too, and he's been good, but you know, Siakam's been the guy there. And I like to see that Tyrese is able to be effective and still look for his game winner and help the game and assist without necessarily being the go-to in the same way that he is during the regular season. It's impressive that you can still affect winning without having the ball in your hands the whole time, taking that many shots.
Gib. Hold on. Do you have you think anyone besides Siakam is like jumps off the page to you for best midseason acquisitions?
Well, midseason. So are we counting Harden? Is he midseason or is it early season?
Anytime during the season. So Harden's got to count, right?
There were two that stood out to
Dame counts. Would Dame count or is that off season?
That was off season. He played for the Bucks game one. I would say there's two that stood. So the Harden one, obviously. Because Kawhi's hurt, they absolutely need him. They would not be competing without him. And then two, the other trade was, which might be a little more surprising, is the Dallas trades with Gafford and PJ.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a combo of two players. You can't really give it to Gafford or PJ individually, but the collective is paid up.
PJ's had a bigger effect in these playoffs, but yeah.
PJ's really, really good. I think he fits them. And his standing there like this, looking at the bench when Terrence Mann was like,
did you see PG do it back to him today?
Yeah, when he hit the threes and they were up 30. They almost lost that game, though. That was a game.
That three he hit in the corner, Paul George, is also a moment that won't get as much love. But that was one second of the shot
clock
came around from the corner three with PJ, or maybe it was Derek Jones, in his grill.
Yeah.
That's what won them the game. So I thought that's also a crazy point.
Yep, I mean that was great. I'll go one wild card for trades, and it was a trade that didn't work out. I guess seeing Buddy Hield not even play for the Sixers is pretty crazy. I kind of thought that was a big acquisition. They needed 3-point shooting, like with Embiid's gravity and a 3-point shooter. Like you hear the way JJ Redick talks about it, just fucking stand there and shoot the ball. I don't understand how he's not playing. He must be so bad.
I'd say Gordon Hayward doing very little in OKC, Buddy Hield doing very little in Indiana, Bogdanovich not doing much in New York. I think we kind of all thought that was going to be a bigger deal. Which one did you just say, Gif?
Alec Burks is not seeing the court, even with Bogdan going down, not seeing the court.
Well done from Tibbs, because I know Alec Burks is his guy. So if he's not playing Burks, you know, he's committing to winning now and not just his guys. McBride, who has stepped up and played big minutes. I mean, it's a fun team to watch. I really like the Knicks.
Yeah, I think throw out for biggest injury, two of them. DeAnthony Melton as a role player, because when DeAnthony Melton's actually playing well and healthy enough to play good minutes, he could be another option to put on Brunson as a primary. Then bring health defense, and the statistics of Melton in the starting five with Maxey, Harris, Batum, and Embiid, like that starting five plus minus has pretty similar statistics than to Boston in their like crazy net rating stuff. So throw Melton out there. Also, Tobias Harris has to be a thing for biggest injury for shitting his pants.
Yeah, just for not being hurt and hurting them anyway. Going back to your Melton call, Melton hasn't played in so long that's such a deep cut good call. He is a playoff player.
Yeah, he's a huge deal.
Yeah.
This makes it very assured that Siakam stays in Indy. Do we agree there?
It should.
I was getting worried that what if Siakam doesn't fit well in Indy, and it wasn't a good looking fit after the deadline throughout March, but it's starting to pay dividends and they're clearly feeding him and featuring him as the offense. What do you have? 35 the first game, 37 the next. So Siakam clearly gets the bag, gets a massive bag in Indy and stays.
I hope he stays. He clearly fits there. As long as he's in for the city and kind of that long-term life plan, it's clearly good for him, and they should offer him whatever the max that they can at this point. I know he can't supermax or anything. I think more importantly, it didn't look like that Indiana had any idea what they were doing in the first game and a half. And to have someone like that with experience who sort of, even outside of what they were running in their offense, just took the ball and got good looks for them was such a big deal, where they could have looked, you know, more like the Magic looked in their first couple games, where they were like floundering out there, and they recovered and now it's their series.
They had to have a wink, wink agreement when he got traded.
Yeah,
sure, but if it doesn't work out well and he doesn't want to be there, he's under no obligation to stay. I mean, we see DeAndre Jordan walk out of the Mavs and say, nah. Gib, how big of a bag is OG Anunoby getting? He's got to be mentioned in best midseason acquisition for the Knicks. And he's also similar to Pascal, an upcoming free agent. Where's the threshold as a Knicks fan that you would say, wait a second, that's not what I thought we were going to give him? Or you're just comfortable potentially giving him 35, 40 million a year?
Slightly less than a max.
So 40 million a year?
Yeah, he'll be in the 30s, I think.
And that's a good thing?
That's a great thing. He's incredible. We've been watching the series. He's been like, he's a Swiss Army knife. He can shoot. I still think his elbow is still a little banged up, and then he'll have a full offseason to get the elbow back healthy. He's an absolute game changer for the Knicks and an absolute perfect fit.
I strongly agree, and I think he's especially good on that team, given they don't need him to create offense and all the things he does so well he can just focus on and put in crazy Tibbs minutes, being the best defender, the best intangible guy, and plenty of other things. And if he keeps getting stronger like this, I know I said it earlier, but as players get older, they get stronger. You can keep making him more versatile and playing him at bigger and bigger positions. If you're putting him on Bede right now, you have a legit 1-5 defensive guy. That's wild.
Is Brunson certifiably better than Kyrie?
Oh, it's different. I don't know. That's tough. You go, Gibby.
I can't say certifiably.
The
game today Kyrie put on also was
phenomenal.
You know, I think this is actually like a playoff of like resurgence for people, like Kyrie getting his rep back, Harden getting his rep back. Like, I can't say certifiably. I can say certifiably that Brunson is the best Knick since Ewing.
Austin, rank Brunson, Kyrie, Harden, and Halliburton.
I mean, are you telling me to rank them in terms of skill or in terms of what they mean to their team? Because
who you want in a playoff series? It's the only important question.
Wow. It's still, I know I'm so biased, but it's still Kyrie for me, but it's very close with Kyrie and Brunson. And then it's a big step down for Halliburton because we haven't seen it yet. I know he hit that game winner and he's worked well in a role, but he's taken on so much less than the other two, especially less than Brunson. And who was the fourth?
Harden and Brunson.
Yeah, I mean, Harden has to be fourth on that list. I know that he's outkicked his coverage hard in this series because of how well he shot and handled the game and no Kawhi, but he's just, in terms of where he is in his career, so much behind the other two. Brunson is doing the best I could imagine, and I'm so impressed, and I still have to go Kyrie.
Gibby, do you want to take a stab at that list, or do you want me to?
My list would be the same as Avery's.
Nice.
I think Jalen Brunson's done enough in the playoffs to put him number one for me now. And I'm the slowest on the Brunson train. But I think at this point, he's done so much where, like, I would trust him to fit into any role, depending on what team. Knicks, he's probably the one that you'd want as the lead guard for the Knicks of those guys. And I think Jamal Murray might belong in the same conversation with these folks. We see a lot of good point guards. And Dame, too, to be honest.
Do you think Brunson could play the role that Kyrie is right now? Because I know he was on Dallas before.
That's why I originally asked this.
But do you think, like, at this moment, because I think he might be a little bit better, he can be as effective as Kyrie as a certified number two.
Oh, I mean, I actually don't. I think that what Kyrie does off ball is actually so impressive. He's a great cutter. He hits open shots. He doesn't need to create everything to get the value from him versus, like we're describing with Brunson, the reason we think it's better for Randle to be out at times is because you only get value from Brunson with the ball in his hands. And it's saying something that he's playing so well, being that huge usage focused guy right now, but it's you only get that benefit from him versus you. If you turn the tables and could do, I think Kyrie could do what Brunson is doing and like run the offense through him. I know you could.
So I think the way that I would put it is if I was playing with the, I think for the Mavericks, Kyrie is better fit because he's a better shooter and he's got like just a quick shot and is less ball dominant, but can be equally ball dominant. Like in terms of if he's asked to, he could fill that role. But I think if you're paired with a big as your second co-star, then Brunson's the better fit. If it's with Luka, I'd rather Kyrie. But if I was like choosing one to run with Embiid, I'd rather Brunson. All right, let's move on to craziest statistic that you've heard. So we dropped the Hartenstein 5 fouls in a third quarter. I have a few others that I've dialed up. Do you want me to just list them out and then we will break them down, or do you guys want to throw any out there?
You can list some. I mean, before we get into ones for just this year, LeBron's lifetime elimination game stats, I know they're probably going to get eliminated, and so we're not going to put his elimination game stats on game 5 when they lose, if they lose. But he was great again in game 4, and if you look at his career and the numbers, I think it's something like 34, 9 and 8 or 9 and steals and blocks and crazy percentages. I mean, he does not like to lose. I know we don't think he has that Jordan killer in the same way, but he's put on some wild performances when he's needed to in the playoffs.
And in addition to that legacy LeBron elimination statistics, since making his postseason debut on April 22nd, 2006, Bron never missed a single game due to injury. 284 straight games for the King, most in NBA history, most among active players, obviously. The second is nearly 200 games behind him.
I mean, that's crazy.
In the young Jason Tatum.
Never missed a game from injury is wild.
As we talk about biggest injury impact, LeBron never being injured is such an integral part to all of his success. And why he's so valuable to your team. And why, Gibby, he's the second most player in the NBA that I'd want besides Jokic in a playoff series. AV, me and Gibby have been having a little bit of back and forth.
Go ahead.
I came up with a top 10 list of players that I'd want in a playoff series. Just in the entire NBA, made the playoffs, didn't make the playoffs, whatever. So like Curry can be on the list.
Yeah.
And I still had LeBron as second player in the NBA that I'd want for my team in to win a playoff series. He's number two for me.
Where did you have Ant?
I had him, I think, let me pull up the list. I had him on the list for sure. He might have been honorable mention.
I think he was like low, like 8 or 9 for you.
I mean, I'm with you with overvaluing LeBron, even though he's older, especially from what he can do from a mental standpoint to will your team to victory, which is why it's so hard to judge what the Lakers are doing in this series, because the Nuggets are the best team and we know so championship pedigree. So the Lakers could, you know, theoretically be also championship pedigree, maybe even as good as the second, third or fourth best team in the whole NBA in terms of what they could do in the playoffs and still lose handedly in the first round and we'd never know.
Let's revise this list. I'll give it to you what I wrote before the playoffs started.
Okay.
Jokic, 1. I don't think that's moving. LeBron, 2. I'm open to the debate, but fuck you guys if you want to change it. Luka Doncic, 3.
Mm.
Giannis, 4.
Yeah, okay, good. I was waiting. Where's Giannis?
Kawhi, 5.
Healthy Kawhi.
But that's got to be part of the list if we're saying bronze too because of his durability. Steph, 6. Joel Embiid, 7. Tatum, 8. Durant, 9. SGA, 10.
Bring SGA. I mean, again, I guess it's recency bias, but in terms of I'm watching Ant outplay KD in that series and be so much more important to his team than KD is, that move SGA up for me, move Ant up for me, move the young guns up. I'm not ready to knock LeBron out, but move these young guys who are proving it right now up the list.
Okay, so you'd so I have on honorable mentions, I have AD, because he's just unbelievable sometimes in the playoffs. Yeah. It's just insane.
He's maybe Jimmy the best Butler. Playoff defender. Yeah.
Jimmy Butler had to be an honorable mention. This was pre-injury. Yeah. Anthony Edwards, Victor Wembanyama, and I put Jaylen Brown on the list for the simple reason of, if I'm going to put Tatum, then I'll honorable mention Jaylen Brown, because there's been many a times where we've seen him actually be the better one in the bigger moment. So
at times, and part of that is the pressure that Tatum draws defensively. Agreed. And I will in the never media, I, yeah.
Jaylen Brown won't make the list, but he'll get honorable mentioned on the podcast.
I mean, I'm too focused on how Ant is listed amongst guys like Wemby and Jaylen Brown for you when he should be the face of the NBA.
This was pre-playoffs, and he had at that point played in one playoff series in his career, and he'd lost.
And he was great in the loss. He was
also terrible in the play-in prior to that.
I don't remember, so I honestly can't say. But he was great in that series, and he's been great this year. And you're right, he doesn't have nearly enough of kind of a resume yet to get to that. But I'm ready to kind of turn on KD and Booker and them, just given what I'm seeing in this series.
Yeah, I'm on the Suns tonight, but I think Durant, we're moving off the list. It might be time to move Kawhi off the list, because the man can just never stay healthy. And I know Gibby has feelings that we should put people above Embiid, and we should probably honorable mention Brunson at this point too. Gibby, any thoughts?
Yeah, I think Brunson has to be honorable mention. And one guy I'm going to throw out should be honorable mention just because how good he is in the playoffs. Jamal Murray's got to be. I think he's got to be an honorable mention in that.
We also have to honorable mention him in potential biggest injury. Now, I know the Nuggets probably win the series and hopefully get a little break, but he's questionable for tomorrow now. And gambling wise, the lines are shaking. Like, Jamal Murray might be out.
I mean, I don't even think it's just a question of is Jamal Murray in or out. He's obviously been hurt and playing not that well this whole series. So if he's in this game or if he's out this game, that might not change the fact that you're not going to get 90%+ Jamal Murray in the rest of the playoffs, which is a big deal. Obviously.
Crazy statistic. Jamal Murray's career fourth quarter scoring average versus the Lakers in a postseason is the fourth highest versus single opponent in the play-by-play era. Like for guy going against any other single team. Just cooked the Lakers in the fourth quarter always.
We also haven't talked about Donovan Mitchell, because that series has been, you know, everyone's least favorite series. But historically, Donovan Mitchell is an honorable mention playoff guy. What's he like, top 5 to 8 scorers in the playoffs average wise ever, maybe even higher? I don't know. There's a lot in that next tier.
You just say Luka?
I didn't know. Luka we already had in there. Luka, you put like you put Luka above Giannis at 3.
Oh no. Sorry. I saw crazy scoring. Yeah, Donovan Mitchell should be in there, but
yeah,
games 3 and 4.
I agree.
Questionable Cavs efforts.
Yeah. Paolo's not there now.
No.
But next year or the year after,
stop it.
He's going to be in that list.
I love it in theory. I mean, he's what you want out of Julius Randle, where he's making these tough shots and putting your team on your back, but he's actually good at it. I like his game right now. Franz too. Obviously, a lot of people want them to win, because it's like you don't care who wins that series anyway. Neither of them you think are contenders, so might as well get the young guns some more exposure. And we want to see them put up more big lines. I mean, Paolo's put up some crazy numbers, and people don't really watch.
Luka, the reason why I asked you were saying Luka before, so I was looking at a scoring statistic because I was just going through crazy stats. Third all time in points scored for player his age in the playoffs, so he's getting
behind Mike and Wilt of games played at his age. Yeah, I mean it is crazy. I sort of think he's a little hurt. Just I don't know if it's long term, but just based on watching them today, it was not the Herculean defensive effort that we've seen in games 1 through 3, and you weren't getting some of those crazy moments. And I guess that's why Kyrie had to take over a little bit. But needless to say, the Mavs have to have Luka at 100% to make an actual NBA finals run.
Is what are we not covering in the playoffs so far? Like best rookie, Hawkes, Chet being playing really well, Jovic playing really well, Lemby sadly not being in the playoffs, player that we might miss in the playoffs the most, John Morant, I miss you.
One guy we did not talk about today, but he needs to get some love because he's been unreal, is Josh Hart.
Mm.
Yeah,
we haven't talked about him, but he did not shoot the ball well today. Man plays 48 minutes a game. He does not see the bench and grabs 16 boards. He's 6'5".
He's a freak.
His over-under on his rebound prop was like 11.5, and the under was plus money. I was like compelled to do it. I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah, he's the engine that, you know, kind of gets the Knicks going, other than Brunson, obviously, but he's like, he's such a huge part of what they're doing and allows Tibbs a lot of different options because they can play a little bit smaller, not really against Embiid, but because they know they can get rebounds from it.
Any other incredible things that we're missing from the playoffs so far?
That was a good low-key addition because he's not going to get his flowers the way that some of the big names that we've mentioned have. I think we actually hit on a lot of the good ones. And I did a good job bringing up Ant's name 10 times, so I'm satisfied with that.
Who wins a potential series? Let's do some early predictions, and then we'll scoot on out of here. Early predictions of perceived next round so far. I don't want reasons. I just want teams.
Okay.
Who's going to win Knicks-Pacers?
Knicks.
Who's going to win Celtics versus...
Celtics. Yeah.
Cavs or Magic. Okay. Who gives them a harder series, Cavs or who wins this series, Cavs or Magic?
Doesn't matter. Don't care. Celtics.
Okay. Wolves versus Denver. Wolves versus Denver.
Denver.
Who wins, Mavs or Clippers?
Oof. I mean, this is one of my favorite series. I think that if Kawhi comes back, that the Clippers actually win this series.
I'm going to disagree here. I'm going to go Mavs are going to win this series.
Nice.
I'm going to go Mavs too. AV, since you think Clippers, I'll ask you. Clippers versus Thunder?
Thunder. I'm going to stick Thunder.
Gib, Mavericks versus Thunder?
I'm gonna go Mavs.
This is going to be so much fun.
I'm going to go Mavs.
These are great series. These are all teams that actually can contend.
I want to see Wolves Denver so badly. It seems like we're getting that. Yeah. That's a great rematch from the Wolves celebrating that they were Denver's hardest opponent and then Denver being trying to say that they were, whether that was real or to throw shade at the Lakers and the Suns.
Yep.
Luka versus the new era SGA as they were battling for the second spot in MVP and constantly talked against each other all season long, getting each other in the playoffs. The Cavaliers.
I don't know if I see that as a rivalry. Yeah.
Didn't the Cavaliers have 2 20-point comeback wins against the Celtics?
Yeah, don't care. Go to another series.
Okay. And then Knicks Pacers is going to be the Haliburton versus Brunson. Which one's better? Back in the Garden is going to be fucking crazy. Any Knicks playoff series is fucking lit. I don't care who they play.
Yeah, just the Wally Zerbiak versus Tyrese Haliburton rivalry alone.
Oh, Wally! He's not an all-star.
Bring it back. Yeah.
Yeah, the Obi Toppin revenge series, the Obi Toppin versus Jacob Toppin.
Yeah.
Great angles here. Rick Carlisle versus Tom Thibs, two old-school coaches with new-school teams.
Yeah, the West is what's up. I'm so happy we get to see more of these incredible games. We're very lucky.
And we will be here to break it all down on Check Ball. We will try and do this hopefully weekly where we just reflect on some of the biggest stories. Of course, we'll be doing gambling shows every Wednesday, and I'll tweet out buckets doing gambling shows twice a week on there. So you get 3 gambling podcasts and a general Check Ball from me every week as we work through the NBA playoffs. Of course, sign up for fiddlespicks.substack.com. That is where I send out all of my picks and future podcast links. And then go check out the Fantasy Basketball International YouTube channel if you want to watch these podcasts as videos and see Tim Donaghy live on the show. And as always, thank you for being here. Thank you to my 2 great guests. Peace out.
I'm the type to guess. You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.